Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. We're still on one another, building effective relationships. God's plan in the earth is tied to relationships, and we must never think relationships are always coincidental or accidental. We should see certain relationships, particularly those that are not family. Family is good relationship, no doubt. As you know, I'm so confident of God's plan for my life that I know He has brought people into my life. And it's very important to be able to recognize the things you must know how to recognize, and recognize opportunities in life, recognize opportunities, one of the ways to recognize opportunities is to be prepared for them. I am prepared for miracles. I'm prepared for God to guide me. I'm prepared for Him to send people to help me. So I always say it, I'm prepared for it. And I'm getting ready for greater things God's using me to do. I get ready every day. I try to make sure I'm positioning myself. Because I'm confident that God leads me. I'm confident that He will bring people my way. It will be sad for you to not recognize afterwards. So you must know that relationships are important in how, you know, God leads you in life. That's why we make it important to talk about relationships, talk about it. Because usually people think that once a relationship has to be marital. Marital is very important. You need to, but you see, this is what leads to it. This is what leads to it. This is what will make you build relationships in marriages. Because, like I said last week, some people are married just to have children and they're just using the spouse. And that's not healthy. You must be able to build relationships and, you know how to, biblically speaking now, you don't have to read a sociological book or a psychological material to do that. So God's word remains our anchor. It's the way we can learn a whole lot just by reading through scripture. I was talking to someone about something very natural, and the guy said, you just explained scripture. I said, yes. I said, because if you watch this, it's a natural thing we're talking about. I said, if you watch this in the Word of God, you see it's a pattern. Even in Scripture. I said, so you must know how to unnest relationships. I mean, to use them well. Just reading God's Word. So, you know, and that's about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, very vitally. And of course, you know, we'll read Matthew 1, just to go over that. We said the book of the generation or genealogy of Jesus Christ, the seed of David, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said that means the Old Testament books want you to go back to the New Testament writer wants you to go back to the Old Testament to read and to understand it. To also build the doctrine there written just from there. Matthew's Gospel 28:18-20, we said that confirms who Jesus is God. And in Mark's Gospel 1:1, beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God, he says, as written in the scriptures or the prophets, and he looks at Malachi and of course Isaiah. And we said it means again that Mark wants us to go back to the Old Testament to read them. Mark's Gospel 16-20, where Jesus in verse 19 and 20, he's called the Lord. Working with him, he shows he's God. Luke's Gospel 1-4, tells us Luke is talking to a Gentile, Theophilus. And that gives us the narrative of Luke where he emphasizes how Jesus ministers the Lord to Gentiles. Luke's Gospel 24:25-27, why should Jesus go back to the Old Testament again? So we said on Sunday that the Old Testament was the Word of God before Jesus came, was the Word of God while he was in the four Gospels, and remains the Word of God today. It's how do we interpret it? That's usually the challenge. And why is the Old Testament looking difficult to interpret? Because it's farther to us than the New Testament books. Again, verse 44 to 45, we see Jesus also taking them through the scriptures to read them together. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44 to 45. John's Gospel 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We said the beginning there, in Arche, is the same thing as Luke 24, 25, and 27. Mark's Gospel 1:1 and Matthew 1:1, which means these writers want you to go back to the Old Testament to read it. 1 John 20 and 22, we said where Jesus breathed in or breathed on, and it says disciples received the Holy Ghost, that the Greek word there is the same Greek word in the Septuagint of Genesis 2:7. So the Old Testament is very relevant, relevant today, because the New Testament writers never made it irrelevant. So now, one of the ways the New Testament writer teaches from the Old Testament is the use of what you can call motifs, patterns. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, where he talks about in the Exodus, actually 1 Corinthians builds a lot in the Exodus, including 2 Corinthians as well. 1 Corinthians in 10, it says in verse 7, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So, some of them didn't please God in the wilderness. And Paul says, now these things were our examples. That means he still doesn't please God today. Can you say amen? Can you say amen to that? If he never pleased God then, he doesn't please God now. That's what Paul is saying. See, there are examples unto us that we should not lost after evil things as they lost them. So, temptation is the same now, was the same then. Sin is the same now, sin is the same then. So it says the examples were two posts, which means a pattern, right? Then in verse 11, now it says all these things happen to them for examples, and they are looking for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So they are called examples. So I say examples, which is something you need to look at, and look at the pattern, and the patterns. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we're looking at relationships. And we said, I'll go over some things I said last week, the week before. If you find yourself doing everything, then we said you are distracted. If you are reading everything, you are distracted. If you are reading everything, there are things you should ignore. There are things, and that's why you have a remote control or a remote controller. You change the channel, change the station. You can't be watching everything. You can't be listening to everybody. There's, you're distracted. So have you heard this person? I said, no, I don't know him. He said, I want you to know him. I said, why? Because I want you to know him. I said, why? I can't know everybody. You get really distracted. You want to be everywhere. You're going to be distracted. And I told you last week, I'm still going to talk about it. Your attention is your asset. Did you hear me? Your attention. Your attention is your asset. Don't forget that. So give it to the right people. It's not every phone call that you take. Someone told me, say, I've been calling you and calling you and calling you and calling you. He said, you didn't pick you. And I saw it, your call is busy, it's busy, it's busy. I said, who are you? My call will be busy. There are some people when I'm on the phone and I see that they are on the waiting, I'll cut the call and go back to call them. Because they deserve my attention. You have to know who and what you give your attention to. Jesus didn't talk to everybody. He didn't engage everybody. He didn't answer every question. And I was saying that to some men of God, they'll just stay online and they'll be engaging people and answering their questions in box. I said, answering questions, tell me, yeah, take time and you're on the inbox. And the person, I'm not saying this because it's bad or evil, but the person will go to another church. the next Sunday and give his attention to that one. The people you should be engaging will now come to your own church. You are now tired. Very tired. The one you are called to do, you are tired. The one you are not called to do, you spend your time trying to prove a point that we know something in our church. You are wasting your attention. Give it to the right people. Hallelujah. So he was telling me about how his wife-to-be is complaining and complaining. Well, nobody is complaining, but... And I said, she wants attention. I said, don't you have it? I like, wanting attention is evil. It's not evil. Why should I be your friend? And I can't get your attention. You say, I don't like you. I mean, you are toxic. No, this language. Why did you choose to marry me if you can't give me attention? No, now, I want to be devoted to the Lord, then marry him. And the Lord is looking at you like, you will pray until you are sleeping. What attention. You are just not focused. That's all. Who are you giving your attention to? Because your attention is your asset. Is that clear? Wherever you have committed yourself to be in relationship, whether it's marital, friendship, covenant friendship, relationships, you have to give your attention. Attention doesn't mean you are going to see the person, but attention. So, if you are giving your attention to everybody, then you are distracted. You are distracted. Number two, I said, if you are doing anything, then you are confused. Because you have to know what you are set out to do. I mean, if you get out of the house, you're going to work. And then they just say, they just call any route and just jump into the bus or you buy the ticket, depending on how you do your own. Ah, yes, where are you going? Anyway, it's fine. They think you're a kidnapper. Because you must have a destination. You are confused. That's, where are you going this morning? Say, I'm just going. No, you can't do anything. You have to set out in your day. I'm not supposed to plan who we're going to talk to in the day. You write out, I should call this person. This person should speak with me. Ah, Pastor, that's too... It's too... Give me one of those recent words. I've given you toxic. Give me another one. It's too... You don't want to tell me what's in your mind. It's too... Stereotype. Yes. You just say, let's just see how the day flows. You just say, I'm supposed to call this person, speak with this person. You know, some people don't know who they talked to yesterday. I was like, you called me and said, hey, I can talk to you. I said, hey, I talked to you. I didn't know. You can't just do everything, okay? Or anything. They will say, you're doing nothing, you're in trouble. The day you get up in the morning and there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. At least you can sleep. That's something. Sleep back. You are in trouble. You should start to do something. Alright? Focus is when you know where you are going to. I don't have time to some, I engage some of you, and I tell you, but you didn't say this. You said you were going here. Hey, I was trying to do that, but when I now saw, did you plan to saw? No, I didn't plan to saw, but I saw. You should know where you're going and what you're doing. I learned the road from Brother Hagin. Can I see you again? And it's about knowing where you're going to. And being focused. Your message, your audience, the destination of your ministry. Praise the Lord. So don't forget, your attention is an asset. Anybody who can get your attention is taking something from you. You know, social media is taking our attention. Some people just put on their phone. They're not anywhere. I'm just scrolling down to see whether there's anything to read. Wow. Who's this one? John Boom. This video, okay. Oh, 30 minutes is gone. Is it part one to be continued? Yeah, 1 hour, 30 minutes. Are you already getting tired? You know, see someone saying to me, are you online? Are they? What's up? For 5 minutes ago, so 2 hours. Now, what value is this? You're just enjoying yourself, doing nonsense. Don't say, they lead you to another page. They say, it's YouTube. Again, your money is going. So when they ask you to give, you say, I want my treasures go. I can see it go. So you say, your attention is going. By the time you want to take your books, maybe you are running a master's program or a PhD, you've already distracted your brain. So you can't comprehend. They are saying 1 plus 1, you are saying 1. Because you've already taken something else. 1 plus 1, say, I'm tired. It's not easy, oh. You just spend 2 hours doing rubbish. I say it's not easy. You just wasted your attention. Someone told me 2 weeks ago, he said, Pastor, won't not look too harsh if you are just planning your time and day. I said, did you just say that? He said, I'm just asking. He said, you know who you are talking to? You know who? I said, what's the opposite? The opposite is what? You don't even know. You told someone to say, so who am I speaking? Hallelujah. Work on your focus. Is that clear? Work on your focus. So in our relationships too, our attention is an asset. Our attention is an asset. And we said some basic things in relationships. I'll go over it again. We said compassion, remember? To show mercy, kindness, and sacrifice. Mercy, kindness, and sacrifice. Anyone that is in your life today, or you are in their lives, you are meant to show them mercy, kindness, and sacrifice. You must contribute it to people's lives. You are in their lives to build them up, to show them mercy, kindness, sacrifice. Number two, we said reconciliation. The ability. Now, when you see relationships that have been formed over the years, you know, I will say this publicly, it's important because it's good to. Someone asked me, he said, you know, we're talking about Pastor Tokes when I went to speak for at his birthday last week. So I shared some things and someone said, but over the years, how did you guys do this? I said, we fought many times. One day we now said, we will not fight again. We agreed not to fight. We have fights that we'll fight. We say, I don't want to see you again. Never. You know, some of you talk like that, as if you know a game. I said, we just agreed. And when we have to disagree, we laugh at each other. And that's all. And the friendship's like that. You just agree that, look, we'll fight over this matter. Whenever he says something that I don't really agree, I don't even react. He knows, he said, well, you may not say this. I said, don't say it again, just say what you want to say. When I'm saying my own, he said, I understand you, I'm just more. Just, you know, because, as we'll talk about this later, that person is the most important part of the relationship. Some of us use principles above persons. Right? No, you should, your principle should be to value the person. We'll get to that in a moment. So, relationships, you forgive offenses, you heal broken relationships. We said, restore harmony. That's the part some of us hardly do. You restore the harmony the way it was before. You act like nothing happened, not because you glossed it over, or you swept it on the carpet. You've spoken about it. You've seen, the other side. And beware of relationships where only one person is right, one person is wrong. You know? There was a guy like that. I said to him, and I told him, he didn't like it initially, but he understood. I said, you are too nice, and you look like someone who doesn't have a fault. I will not advise anyone to marry you. He said, Pastor. I said, yeah, how can a human being be all perfect? There must be something wrong. It's not possible now. You don't say to everything, no problem. Okay. There's a danger somewhere. There is a danger somewhere. Even Jesus wept. The thing came up. You don't say, oh, no problem. I'm fine. I'm very fine. I said, I will never advise anyone. Because the person will get into the holiest of all and see your glory. That eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. This is dangerous. Relationships will always, as I said, we've been friends for so long, we've never had a disagreement. Huh? We've never had a cause to. Someone said, one of you must be blind and deaf. It's not possible. You disagree, you then agree. And also in marriages, they say, the Bible says submit. You should be able to disagree and agree. Submit. Someone said, the man said, submit. Submit. I told the husband, he said, ask Christ. Are you Christ like? Ordinary prayer meeting, you are missed 4 in a month. Is that Christ? I didn't answer. And the husband. eat. Can you submit to you? You can you submit to you? You this unstable human being. Anyone who submits to you? The one who submit empty answer sheet. What are they going to mark? eat. What about love? Okay. So we must know how to reconcile. And we said, when you allow offenses for long, you begin to exaggerate what happened. Now sit down. Imagine you are meditating upon someone that has not used them. Also, That's true. You'll not be doing tsunami on different events. Exegesis. You now sit down. Say, on the 14th, then 15th, then 16th, then 17th, then 18th. There was one sister like that in our fellowship. Our diary of recording our life's events was bigger than our church note. Church note should be looking like this. When she gets back home, she's writing. So, he spoke to me. So, if you meditate long on offense, you will exaggerate the thing. If in that one, should not tell somebody. I want to tell you. No, this is between me and you. You know, I don't like talking about people. But this one is because I know you are my bestie. BFF for life. There was one brother, he's not a member of this church. I said, is everybody your bestie? Bestie. What's bestie? He's their best friend. His mama is good, I will use best friend. Friend is good. My best friend. Who is the better friend? It's family school. People that you you take their lunch. They are your best friend.
Your best friend.
Because he eats his lunch. He's your best friend. You don't have lunch. Or they just put gala in your bag. And this particular person, that's how wish. He has a toast. He has a orange juice. He has this one. Bestie. Okay. So, anyway. So let's reconcile. Okay? Very quickly. And always, and I say this to friends, to those who are spouses, talk to yourselves first. Talk to yourselves first. First. We said also, learn to adore one another, right? Adore one another. An adoration that is only built on emotions doesn't last. It has to be from respect. I respect you. Look for something today in your friend, in your spouse, that you don't have that they have. There's something. There's nothing that you are exclusive, that's exclusive to you alone in the world. Or, you know, there's something, let me say that again. There's something the person has. Look at it. And adore it. Respect it. Is that clear? We spoke about fellowship, I mentioned that earlier. Spend time together, give your attention to one another. Very well. Friends. Trust. Believe the best. Alright? Is that clear? I mean, we always want our friends to be the ones to stand up for us, right? And believe the very best. I say this oftentimes, sir. My late dad, there was something that he had to speak about. And he didn't ask me what happened. He just went directly and said, I know my son, this is what happened. It's your date, he never asked. That shot up my respect for him way above the heavens. He didn't never ask me. He just went ahead and stood for me and spoke. I was watching him, what's wrong with this man? I didn't tell you this. He said, no. So Tupu said, don't worry, I'll handle this. He never asked me. And that just gave me a whole lot of sense of friendship. That's what, when as parents get to a point when your children are mature enough to take decisions, that's when to become their friend, not their commander in chief. You become a friend. Of course, a senior friend. You're able to talk, you can accept, get them to disagree with you. They'll say, I never, this is my father. Never, and you know, your father, but you always pretended. You always did stuff behind their back. I showed you how, was it here I told you how we used to put on cable? Here. I mean, the man didn't know. He still doesn't. He didn't have an idea of the kind of miraculous things that were done in his absence. One time like that, he claimed that he, you know this video head, when the thing goes dirty and then you don't see anything. Right? So, one time like that, he saw it, he said, hey, let me leave it that way. Because he brought this video head cleaner. So, he put it in his room, he said, let's put that so that nobody will watch the TV till you go and read your books. We just unscrewed the stuff, took our spirit, cleaned the thing, watched it. Then, when we were done, we now took a dirty film, played it so that I can go back dirty. He still doesn't know. You know? So you come back and you clean the thing, then the thing, we go and make it. Go back, front, go back. But my mom, you can't try that. My mom used her eyes to look through the freezer. And she knows everything that's everywhere. She just knows, she knows what's there. If you touch the tail of the fish, my mom will know from our workplace. Who touched the tail of the fish? Something supernatural about how she does. So stay up, that woman. You know, just bless God for life. That's all. Trust, believe the best. Okay, we said gratefulness removes entitlement spirit. And I must mention this in the Nigerian church. You know, there's this thing about believers really grumbling. And that's because there are things we have taught believers that they should get something. They must have something. So when they don't have it, they more and more complain. We should teach believers gratefulness. Be thankful for what you have. Is that okay? Be thankful. I asked you last week to just say thank you to those in your lives. Or your life. You have just one. Don't just say, I didn't know. No. Say, thank you for being a good asset in my life. Thank you for the times you came through. Thank you. Don't say, should I say that now? I'm shy. You're not shy to get angry. I told you, you're not shy. It's to say thank you, you're shy. Say, be thankful. Thank you for parents, thank you for children, thank you for those around you. Is that clear? You know, you can also thank your children for at least not making you stay up late and say, where has he gone? You can thank your children for being good children. Don't say, hey, should I? I wish you had the other side. You, when somebody is not your prayer point, be thankful. Just be thankful. Is that okay? Don't have an entitlement spirit over anyone, over anything. So having said that, quick one to this week. Alright. So I said, what is the strength of your relationship? What's the strength? Sorry, last week. What's the strength of your relationship? What is the basis in our relationship with the Father? He gave us His Spirit. It's the seal of His love. The never broken seal of that commitment. He gives us His Spirit. In Matthew 22 and verse 37 to 38, they ask Jesus, what is the great commandment of the law? Then He says, love the Lord your God with all your strength, heart, mind and soul. He says, the second is like the first one. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You are as good in your relationship with God as you live with others. I need to watch you. How do you relate with others? That's the true fruit of your relationship. We're going to look at that tonight as well. I need to watch you. John says you can't say you love God that you have not seen and not love the men that you can see. It goes like that. If you love the Father that you haven't seen, Jesus says you love the Son. If you honor the Father you haven't seen, you honor the Son. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And it goes the same way. Our relationships with the people we can see shows or is the fruit of relationship we have with God that we cannot see. 1 John 3 talks about brethren, 16, 17, 18. So, in our relationships, now watch this very clearly. You know who your friends are, those who are in your life. That's why the New Testament uses a word for the people we're referring to, John 13. Jesus, who said, of course, friends are those you have things in common. Could be your spouse, those you do business with, those you are believers, and all that. So he said in John 13, which is John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give to you. Now, that a new commandment doesn't mean fresh. It means to renew the commandment to you. You love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That's really Leviticus 19:18, which is basically, you love the slave, the stranger, because you were strangers in Egypt and I loved you. That's really what he's saying. Now, he says you would love one another. Now, the word another there, and then the Greek word can be, very dynamic. The word here in 34 and 35 that you love one another, the word another here is the word alleleon. A-L-E-L-L-E-O-N or A-L-E-L-L-O-N. It's similar to the word allos that he uses later in John 14:16. I'll pray the Father, he will send you an allos. Same. So, we love everybody, but there are people in our lives that we show a sign of committed devoted love, those that we share the same things. We share faith. We share purpose. These guys Jesus is talking to, they share purpose, faith. They don't share personalities. They don't share profession. They might not even share family in many instances. But they share
purpose, faith. Now, when you have those people that are in your life and you're going the same direction, definitely your spouse. Sure, people like your children, trusting God, you are in the same faith and you love God together and all of that. Of course, your friends, Christian friends, those God has brought into your life for purpose of His work in the earth. He says you must love. He uses the word agape, which if you go to the Old Testament, there are different words for it. One of them is the word aheb. It means to esteem, right? To esteem, A-H-E-B, to esteem the person. There's another word used by the Hebrew to what she said. I was going to explore that later on. She said it's often called loving kindness, compassion, but very, very astute Hebrew text have told us it means commitment, undivided commitment. So people in your life who are just like you, not personality, don't forget that. Personalities are different. Your husband is not going to be like you in personality. Your wife won't be like you in personality. Your children will be different. I don't like children being compared. I think it's ridiculous. Children won't be this. They'll be different. You're going to have, you know, folks who are business partners with you, different personalities, right? But because you share the same purpose, the same faith, then you esteem them. Notice that Jesus puts a focus on that love, a person. Are you aware that that person is the most important part of that relationship? That person, that brother, and that sister, that friend, okay? So he says, you love one another, allos, just like you. Not personality, don't forget, but you have the same faith, the same destination, you feed on the same truth. In John 15 and 12, he uses the same thing. He says, love one another as I have loved you. In 17, love one another. The word another, I'm repeating it, means same. Love the one that is same like you. Of course, you love everybody, you show love to all men, Paul says, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6 and 10. So for those who you share the same faith, the same purpose, you love them specially. You must esteem them. Is that clear? Is that clear? Love one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. I remember years ago in the 90s, I had to sit two siblings down. They came from a polygamous home, but different women give birth to them. The father had about five wives or so. And so the two of them now came to our fellowship, our church fellowship then. This was about 94, 95. And their siblings, or we call them step siblings. It took me years to educate them that I understand the division in your family. Everybody's mom has tutored them to be against the other person. One of them, the mom was the third wife, all right? Though they say the second wife, because the first two wives were married at the same time on the same day. So like one wife and one wife. So that's another argument for another day. So the third one, and they all got born again. They came around. So, and you know, one will come to me and talk about the other. And it's just so convenient. I'm the pastor. The other, I said, come see them. Both of you are believers. One came and said, brother, sincerely, I know you think that she's a Christian. You know, we live in the same house. And started telling me, you know, in 90s, I said, relax. It took a while. And I never succeeded. That's what I was going to. I taught them, we'll sing all the songs. Down in my heart, there is a nature of a father. I taught them all the songs. Down in my heart. I remember I taught them walking in love for about 2 months. Tuesday services, walking in love, 2 months. Down in my heart. And then I'll talk about, you know, I will use them as examples in a cryptic way. The love of God is... There was another brother like that, Brother Sahid.
He raises the one side. He's living in me. So again, he's loving through me. He's loving through me. I can't put it up there. Very dark boy. Love. He was singing. You know, and just out of the service, do you know that she didn't greet me? I know you are from different. And the truth about that, those who grew up polygamous homes can find it really hard. Not you, amen. I never succeeded because years later, many years later, they are not here, so don't look around. One said, "What I told you, please do not tell that person." I said, "Ah, after how many years?" One still believes, the other is using something. What are they using? Someone told me one day, he said, someone is using, doing something for him in his village. I said, where does the person stay? In our village. Where do you stay? Lagos. The person is in your village. Has not left the village. He's doing you here. How? If you have been done, you should have gone back. To your village. You know those villages that you need Google Map. Google Map will not get the place. There's a house for a woman by the side. That woman will tell you, that's the village. And I say, what is there is doing you. You are not serious. The person that is doing you should be here. In correct places. Romans 12. Be kind, affectionate, one to another. Verse 10. Preferring one another. Use the same word early on. One another. You know, he's talking to brethren. That word, one another, is for those that you share similar faith, focus, and purpose. He's talking about the whole world. We should love the world, yeah, like God does. But this preference, preferring one another, to treat the person different, because that means that because we share the same faith, same purpose, I should treat you differently. Okay? One another. This is never used for the world. Romans 13:8. Hold no man nothing but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. In verse 13, it says, love works no evil to his neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Again, the context of this has to do with brethren, those that you share same thing. So possibly, have you tried to evaluate those who are close to you, whether you are the same? And it's a personality. Whether you are the same. You have the same purpose, the same faith. You have the same values, right? You must love them. You must prefer them. You must show a kind of value. Maybe I should say this. Some things we should give to such people, we are giving to strangers. You ought to give this to those who are in your life for a purpose. You just share it everywhere. No. That includes what we mentioned earlier, your devotion and attention. Let me add this. This wasn't in my note, but I say I share this. Never use your attention to manipulate anyone. That is, do not beg people with your attention. You are more valuable than that. Is that clear? Never do it. Don't use your attention to plead with people. Oftentimes when you are doing that, you are giving it to the wrong person. The people who value you, who treasure you, and they don't do it by showing you unusual emotions. No. True friends are not, they hug you every, no. That should happen, but those that you know are there for you. Those that their words can count. Because you know that those who lure others, you know, into cults, into sexual relationships, also entice them. So never, that's no parameter. What's important are the values you share. The critical things in your life, the roles they play. Is that clear? Don't use your attention to, let me just, if I just keep calling you, if I keep saying, you know, no. That's, you are undervaluing yourself. That's why Jesus said, as I have loved you. So you must show it in the way you treat relationships. Never do it. Don't. Jesus said, if you get to a place and they don't want you, he said, leave. Right? So you should leave. Oh, my friend, the husband said, walk back out of my house and all that. And all that. I said, which house? This is a house. Is there anything that has a back out of my house? I'm talking about. They are going to park out too. And I said, what do I do? I said, park out. I said, sir. I said, park out. What do I do? Park out. Leave. That's what he said. What if I stay? And he stays, and then he's doing what he said he's going to do to you. No. Don't do that. You're a person of value. Jesus Christ died for you. Is that true? He gave his spirit to you. And there are people, you're a believer, there are people whose salvation is tied to you. Whose spiritual growth start to you. The people who your words have brought meaning to their lives. How would you undervalue such people? By using your attention in a very cheap way. Is that clear? There's nothing that discourages those that love us and are there for us to give our attention to those who don't love us. You should love everybody, right? Everybody, you know, but you cannot hear what I'm about to say. You can't love everybody the same way. That's ridiculous. God didn't do that. You can't love everybody the same way. You can't show value to everybody because everyone doesn't mean the same thing to you. Does it make sense? So don't do that. Don't devalue those that are in your life. I have a quote I've been putting out for years that, you know, we treat those who are with us with lesser importance, seeking those that are not with us. And we devalue the treasures in our lives for things that are not even in our lives. This is what you have now. This is who you have now. Treasure who you are. And I found something out. If you treasure those who are in your life and put value and honor on them, even their eventual estimation will increase in life and yours too. Invest in those who are in your life. Don't seek for people. You don't even know these people. You don't know the people you're trying to save your attention for, trying to, you know, you don't know them. So you must endeavor to love the one another. Who is that one another? You share the same faith, the same values, the same purpose, the same focus. Of course, as a Christian, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ is primary. Love one another. That one another is not everyone. It's for a specific group of people. Is it making sense? Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The word agreed there is the word yard. It means precisely where you are alike. Walk together, together is the word yakad, you are alike, except they be agreed. They are pointed together. You therefore must learn to put the proper emphasis on your relationship. Don't forget we said before that do not allow just anyone into your inner caucus, in your inner circle. Your inner circle are those that know you, you share stuff with, and all of that. You must make sure that you know who has your attention. Never forget this. Don't give your attention away. You're in the ministry, give your attention to those you disciple. You're a business person, to your clients, you know. Know exactly what you're doing with your life. When it's time for leisure, no, it's leisure at that point, you know, we just have fun, and I don't know, reduce the number of hours, and I have to go. Attend to things that matter more than this. So last week we looked at building the relationship. So you count the cost. Watch this now. Every worthwhile thing in life has a cost to it. There's a cost to building effective relationships. Time, energy, devotion, resources. You must build it consciously. Consciously. If you're going to have a good relationship with your children, build it. With your spouse, build it. With your business associates and partners, build it. You've got to build it. So well. Remember my partner, people who talk to him and say, I thought, this is how Shegun talks. So we are together all the time. You think I'm the one that is talking. That's how it works. Consciously build it. Well, let's get to this one now. So we said, in building that relationship, watch this, you must value the person. We said that much of that today. Value the person. Don't let the value be money, sex, influence. Those things are ridiculous to build relationships over. Make sure it's the person himself. You are a person of value and honor. Okay? Not the flesh. Of course, it has to be mutual value. We said that earlier. So, you have value. A person of value. You must value the person. I have value for you. I prefer you. I put honor on you. I respect you. Now, women, listen to what I'm about to say. Never, and I'm using the word never, ever say yes to a man who doesn't value you or other women. Put it somewhere and never forget it. Never, ever say yes to a man who, I'm saying to women because we're in Africa. Never to a man who doesn't value others and women and also you. You can't even afford to do that because that's stupid. That's stupid. If you are going to submit to a man you respect. Is that clear? I didn't say respect. I said respect. Right? And not a man that's perfect because you are not. Alright? You respect. Alright, let me get to the men. A woman that will submit to you must be a woman you respect. Okay? There should be a difference between the woman you married and your employee. You, of course, you should respect your employee. A woman you value her values, you value her contributions, and her thought pattern. Oh, a woman who, if your friends are there and she's the only one, they say, honey, go open your mouth. Just keep smiling. Just keep smiling. Anything you say, just say glory. That's not good enough, okay? A woman that you respect. And you, when you respect a woman in your life, you're going to show it in how you treat her, how you're not going to domesticate her, okay? Right? You're going to allow her to fulfill her dreams, fulfill what God has called her to do. The greatest thing we'll see in the moment is you've allowed him, not just allow, walk with him or her. Now, her for the he for the her. That's let's say he or he, let me say it again. These days you have to be careful, your communication. You got a he, you value her. And her is someone that's not you. And not like you, particularly when you get to the bathroom, not like you. Amen. That's it. I'm sorry I'm explicit, but I mean, we've gone to that situation right now. There's no identification unifiers, no codified language, you just have to be safe. Forward here, because, God is good, okay? So the he to the heart, the heart to the he, and he and her, not he, ha ha. Alright. Slay enough, okay? So someone that you value, respect, want to listen to. Alright? Want to listen to you, I want to hear you speak. And sometimes your good friends, you may not like what they say, but you value it. I'm not comfortable. I hate to hear your opinion because I will have to think about your opinion, but I hate it. Say it! Because I know you're going to think well, you're going to pray, you're a wise person, so I value your contributions. And if you're already married, it's not too late. Amen? Okay? That's it. But Pastor, that was then. Oh! Now, you value it. Two, Okay, anyway, value the person. The person. Alright? Someone you value, someone you respect. Two, you must seek to advance the other person's course in life. What have you contributed to your friend's life? What have you contributed to my life? What have you contributed to your husband's life? I gave him children. You didn't give him children. You both had children. I gave him her children now. You didn't give her children. By the way, you're not God. You both had children together. Okay, I'm not saying that. Anyway, if that's what you contributed, they will leave. At 16, 17. I mean, they'll start telling you, I can't come home. 3 months. So if you really don't like one another, you'll be in the same house and say, can't you go on holidays? Something like that. So you have, you must advance the course of that person in life. And one of the ways to do that is to be a good example. Do you strive to be a good example to your friend, to your associate, to your spouse, your wife, your children, to your husband? You as a woman should be an example. Sometimes when I have to talk to couples, I tell them, is that a good example for her? Is that a good example for him? And as soon as I drop that, the boys go quiet. But sir, but what? That's not a good example. If someone is hurt, offended, annoyed, and speaks the wrong words, the reason why you will not reply is because you want to be what? A good example. And by doing that, you are building the other person. Okay? Whenever you see a home where two believers, or a relationship, friendship, where two believers are saying, don't tell me that! Now, you don't like this doctrine. The Holy Ghost just goes, whoop! Doesn't want to call them that mess. And they go, full-blown flesh. I hate the day I met you. Me too. In back in those days, we call them BOL, believers on leave. Go on leave, holiday. No, you be an example. An example of a prayerful person. Don't say stupid things like, ah, my husband is very spiritually sensitive. Eh? Ah, my wife. Ah, she's a spiritual person. What did you just say? And you? You know, both of us cannot be on the same level. You are suffering. Be an example, okay? Number three, be there to correct. But the correction should not be to prove you're right and you're wrong. It's not judgmental. It's a correction to nurture and see growth. In John 15, the father is a husbandman. What does he do? If there's a branch that is not bringing forth fruit, he doesn't label it. He lifts it up and treats it specially so he can bring forth fruit. If there's one that's bringing forth fruit, he prunes it so he can bring forth much more fruit. Let me mention this very well in all our relationships. Pause. Write nothing and listen. See, if there is a place you cannot be stubborn, it's with those who love you, even when you are right. Those who love you, or those who are in a love relationship with you, like your spouse. You can't be stubborn. Who's a stubborn guy? No matter what you say, he will not even respond. He will do what he wants to do. Now, the fact that he walks in some instances doesn't justify. Now, look at the Bible. I was going to start with this. Do you know that, I mentioned this many times, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, you're going to be struggling, not really, to find out what did Adam and Eve do. Again, like we said last week, it was in a relationship. Okay, that was in the teaching seminar. It was a relationship that sin spread. But in Genesis 4, which is very clear, sin was manifested in a relationship. And what was the point? Cain was stubborn. That means, he said, the moment you set your mind to do something, and there's nothing anyone can do about it, it's called the way of Cain. There's nothing. Even those who love you, even those who, you know, there's some things those who love you say, relax. Sometimes you are still going to do it, but you will do your best to explain to them, to speak with them, to receive. Okay, let's pray together. Can you guys pray for me? You know, because you know they love you. Because you know they love you. I would rather esteem the wrong of a friend, the wrong counsel of a friend. This is a paradox, and it's a figure of speech I'm saying here. I guess you get it. I would rather esteem the wrong counsel of a good, true friend who sincerely told me what he believed to be right, than the good counsel or right counsel of someone who doesn't have my interest at heart. Which means when those who love me speak, I hardly check what they're saying. I know they do it. I know they show it over the years. They've proven it well enough for me to say, no, this is my friend. I've seen it. I've seen this one in crucial periods. So the stubbornness is wrong. And for the African man who is a husband, stubbornness is something we like to exude. And we don't know it's wrong. That's it, and it's fine now. Who are you? Even your prayer is not final. You don't do that. You say, well, you know, I know the box stops at your table. You are the husband, the head of the family in that sense. But, you know, have the thing about, let's talk about it again. And try to persuade. And try to. Now, my own personality to be very strange. I like people to be very persuasive. Are you able to tell me what you're saying intelligently? You know, I don't like responding to because you are crying. If I have to change over the years, because then as a pastor, if I'm counseling you and you're crying, I'm very disgusted. I say, take the handkerchief. There was a time that in the church office I pastored them, we gave them, because people were coming every time to see me, so they said, Prof, we're going to have 15 minutes for anyone, no matter what they have come to see, even if their problems are full as the Red Sea. That's what they told me. They said, 15 minutes. So one sister cried and cried. She didn't even start what she was going to say. After 6 minutes, the secretary said, 9 minutes more. So I said, take the handkerchief. I said, you do. You'll go one time. I said, sir. It's just that when I'm thinking about it, I said, you have to not talk about it. You understand? So usually, but I change over the years. When I start crying, I would say, oh, can you be intelligent? When you're done talking, then you can cry. I can't understand you. Just say what you want to say. But you know, over the time, I've had to change. When Jesus wept, he rose Lazarus from the dead. What are you doing with your tears? But that's me. I just stick with me. I'm just like that. I've changed over the years. I now listen even in tears. Now, what did he just say? Yeah. Say what you want to say, then cry. I learned something in life, you know. I learned to cry after I've achieved. When I was in boarding house, and this was a lesson, I was in my first year, form one. Then the pumping machine broke down. And we had to go and fetch water at the back of the school, called the place Akadri. If you're in government college, Akadri is a name. We had to walk like an hour plus to fetch water. So I had to take my bucket, and the bucket I'm talking about, you know those metal buckets that you write your name around? Oh, you don't know that in boarding house. I have two. So I was fetching water for Osakwe. No, Osakwe. Ikotun was the name. So I'm going to Akadri to fetch water. It's right in the evening. So I had the two. So I came back with the two, one on my head, one on my hand. So I'm coming back. As I was about to ascend, I fell down, and the two buckets went boa. You know, and everybody said, ah, you know, I said, oh no, girl. Sorry, ah. You know what I didn't do? I didn't even hear it. They're not going to fetch it for me. And the thing about Ikotun is that I'm still going to fetch another one in the morning because that's for his evening shower. So I'm like, don't be stupid. I took the bucket. I didn't hear. It was in retrospect that I heard what they were saying when they said, ah. I took the bucket and started running back to Akadri. I ran there, fetched the water, came back. When I came back, of course, this time around, I put the two buckets down. So I took one up, and then I went up. Then I said, oh, so, what happened? Because that's the only way you can achieve your goals. If you stay with, they won't do any, So I tell people, when get out of the failure, succeed, then cry. Cry when you have won, okay?
Yes, sir.
Cry when you have, don't, this is too early to cry. So you got my crying point. Ah, that's what's going. You got it, right? The crying thing now. You see, You are on the same page with me. Cry later. Thank you. My story went inside your heart. And you now know it's right for pastor not to flow with you when you are crying. He wants you to run back to Arcadia and fetch the water and come back and succeed and let's cry together. It's better, right? All right. No one, there's nothing crying will do. You just go, you have headache, body ache, all ache, and no achievement. They desert you. Oh, go and apply. Somewhere else. Imagine they apply. And they say, oh, why do you want this job? Huh. You will have this up. Failure is part of life. Okay? It's a learning curve. You know how to handle failure. You know, someone called me and said, Pastor, now, I'm going to hear this teaching now. I was upset. My masters, I just failed. Let me call you back. I said, the first thing you have to realize is that you failed. Sir? Yeah. Then say, but I was the one who was doing the tutorial for my classmates. You failed. That means after you do the rest of your classmates, you failed. Always conclude with, I failed. Okay? Then, these tears that you are tearing up, what's the value in the masters, I mean, in the courses that you are doing, which of them require tears? Said none, so stop crying. What's the requirement to register again? Go and register again. Is that all? No. What did you do wrongly? You won't know because you kept telling yourself you did tutorials. Who asked you to do tutorials for your classroom? Is that what they told you to study for? Said no. As I was saying that, the tears dried up. Go and register again. I said, let me tell you something. Don't overthink. There are other areas of your life. I have seen yourself do well. You just apply the same attitude to those things to it, and you will be fine. Learn to handle failure well. I've seen people who are always high flyers. The moment one failure happens, they don't get out of it. I've seen people who are always excellent, excellent, A1, grade 1. The moment one failure happens, you think extended for years because they couldn't grab his pride. He hold me. He's not he owe you. He say half you. Go and retake it now and pass. Don't lie to yourself. Something cost it. Nothing cost it. You failed. That is why Pastor Funke and he's a doctor today. I'll tell our story again. If you heard the story before, I'll say it today again. When she was writing one of our exams, the MB 300 level. So she failed. So I now got to the campus and said, these people in NCC MDS, the S course. I said, what's their name? He said, Barnabas. That's what they name. Barnabas. This is called Barnaby. I mean, no, there's another name we had. What did he say it? you are a prayer leader. Prayer leader. They say, ah, but they didn't say fellow. They said, they didn't see their name.
And then they didn't see their name. And then I said, didn't they spell the names there?
They didn't see their names. They are there, but they have been talking to the prophet, so and so and so.
There are two of them then. I just went to their house.
She told me that they had never, nobody told them the truth. I just said, I was in the room, I said, what let the fail? Now she said that, and the other colleague said, the way I said that, all the deceit just went boom. I said, the best thing you can do for yourselves now is to join that class. Those ones, they are gone. This is your new class. If you carry pride that this is not my class, we are just, you are not a, there was a name you guys called, so you tell me, remind me. Eh? Something students, remind me. Something we are part, they just call themselves one nickname. So they will say they are in that class. I said, no. This is not a new class. The earlier you do it, the better. Now that they are all doctors, does that thing reflect again? Because you face it once. They say, you know, my junior in secondary school, we're now within the same class together. Because you are now in the same class. Do you understand? You are now in the same class. You know, I know somebody is better than you, is better than you. I was talking with a banker today and we're talking about Dangote. I said, when people are criticizing me, I don't know why. He said, look. I said,
if somebody is your superior, don't say, see how he is, his cap is not fine. Then your own that is fine. What is he doing?
Just say, I failed. When you say that, then you cannot succeed. Are you following what I'm saying? How did I get here? It was the crying that got me here. Okay, sorry, cry. So, guard the relationship. I said, correct, nurture, see if one another grow. Don't correct your friend to be right. Correct because you want to see the person grow. And do this at home. Don't be quick to say, who did this? Look at how you can build the other person effectively. God's correction always produces a positive effect of building the other person. Number four, guard the relationship. What did I say?
Guard it.
Learn to, some of us are careless. We don't guard relationships. Which means that scripture says a wise man sees evil from afar. Before you say something, look at the impact on that relationship. Before you do, guard the relationship from third party. Third party need not be persons. Third party can be sin, it can be rebellion. Let me tell you another thing. Third party can be you're watching your friend backslide. Yorubas have a saying. They said, when your neighbor is eating ants or insects, and you don't warn him, when the insects come back from his belly, both of you have sleepless nights. If you allow a friend backslide and go down the slope, he's coming back at you. Watch your friend. Guard your friend. Guard your friend. Don't connive with a friend to commit sin. What you are simply doing is that you are destroying the relationship. Don't connive to do the wrong stuff. Ensure that you are guarding the relationship. Guard it from rebellion. Don't inspire rebellion. Don't inspire. Be there. Guard it. Look from afar off and say, how can this work in our relationship? Number five, pray. I know you know that one. Pray. Do you know last year? I'll say this. From this church alone and other people, I got numerous testimonies of those who said, Pastor, I never knew how important it was to pray for my relationships. But sir, Pastor, you know something? As I began to pray for relationship, my family relationship, friendship, say some of the things I thought were difficult just got resolved. Who has that kind of testimony here? Just praying for those who are around you. Sometimes we ignore those people and pray for our disciples, pray for pastors. It's good to pray for pastors, please do. But there are people that you see every day. You go home together. You stay in the same home. You don't even pray for them. And then you find yourself arguing with one another and fighting and saying, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes, you know, there's a way you can generally pray for somebody in your house. Maybe the person in your house is a pastor. So the way you pray for the person, you are praying for all the pastors of Saints Community Church. So you come here, we're going to church. And then it's your husband, the wife, pastor, is a coordinator. Is that person only a piece of coordinator? Someone stays in your house. So the person does well as a piece of coordinator. or a pastor. When you not get home, you need something else. Pray for the person. Ask the person in your life. Pray. Are we here? Use your faith always. Brother Hagin taught us to surround those we love with faith. Surround people with faith. Let those close to you hear things like, you can do it. I believe in you. You know, you can achieve this. Learn to use your faith. Don't surround those around you with negative things, not fear, not anxiety. Number 8 and finally, be consistent and contribute your part. Be consistent. Please be consistent. Do you hear me? Be consistent. I know some of us not here. As soon as we leave the service, we go to the car park. I appreciate you. I'll pray for you. Fine. That night, you raise your hands. I'll pray for you. Please do it next tomorrow. Okay? Do it the day after. Do it. Be consistent. In consistency lies the power. Don't do it once and for all. Even salvation, He saved us and He's saving us. Okay? Be consistent. Be consistent. Now, what is the fruit of an effective relationship? How do I know that my part in your life is effective? Don't forget, I have a role in your life. That ought to be a good friend, a Christian friend, a worthwhile friend, a friend who honors you. You know, like I said the other day, what's the unique thing between relationship of a marriage of believers and a marriage of non-believers? It's not affection. If some of all the affection we do, we learn it from unbelievers. It's not sexual. It's not money. It's not spending money for you to go on trip. Nah. You know, what is unique is that I work with you to fulfill God's plan for your life. I introduce you to Jesus or show more of Jesus to you and I help you fulfill God's plan for your life. That's what is unique in a Christian home and a Christian marriage. So, how do I know? What's the fruit of my relationship with you is not for me, it's with others. Just like Jesus built his men, loved them, and where did we see the fruit? In the nations, among others. I need to watch those around me, their contribution to church, to nation, to family, to society, and to others. I take that again. My contribution is seen in the fruit of those around me, in church, in the nation, in the family, in society, at work, around others. Anyone looking forward to seeing those around you blossom in the nation, in church, anywhere like that? In family? At work, let me see your hand. You're watching for that. You want to see that, just like Jesus, have become so valuable in your life that you're such a very faithful, loyal worker at work. I want to see you valuable to others because of our relationship. I want to see you contribute to other people's lives, to the nation, to society, to the church, to work, to family. Amen. Let's love one another. Learn something? Stand to your feet and give.